Yeah, thanks, Igor. Thanks, everybody, for allowing us to talk about this important topic. You know, I think what makes this situation unique is that, it really was unprecedented in modern times. And what that resulted in was just a lack of visibility. It wasn't like a normal economic downturn. We couldn't see what was going to happen tomorrow. And, nobody wanted to catch a falling knife. And so everybody stepped back. In the first part of COVID, everyone was pencils down. Almost all sale processes were frozen. And basically, as you said, Igor, everything ground to a halt. And I think everyone was either in a situation where they were having to just triage their businesses, or even if they were not in triage mode, they were just frozen due to the uncertainty and just the inability to see what was going to happen next. Deal makers hate uncertainty, and that froze everybody in their tracks. As you referenced, though, I really think now that we're 7 months in, my experience now, and be curious to hear what other panelists say, is that deal makers are vigorously open for business. I think as I kind of look back over the past few months, I think in June, we had deal makers starting to come out of hiding, poking around, seeing how things could work. And then I think we started seeing things really moving again as the summer progressed. I think sale processes that were suspended in March, in some cases, those sales processes are getting new life. I think sometimes in a different formulation, with a more perhaps limited targeted outreach to certain buyers just to test the waters before jumping back in entirely. The issue, as you might expect, is how the events of the last 7 months and the resulting effects on a target's financial results are impacting deal pricing. And my experience has been, it's really been specific to each situation, as you'd expect. I think for businesses that weathered the storm well, valuations are strong and competition for those businesses is strong. For businesses that have had difficulties but have turned the corner and have returned or are expected to return to something approaching normal, or where there's good visibility into future results, I think the door is open for them to transact, with those parties in many cases just choosing to ignore the March through June, July, August, whatever the right time frame is, just ignoring those time frames in terms of setting price, and instead kind of looking back to pre-pandemic and then looking to projected 2021 for purposes of setting multiples and prices. I think for businesses that really suffered and for which the outlook is still uncertain, getting buyers and sellers on the same page in terms of economics is very difficult. I think uncertainty is the biggest impediment to getting deals done. And for certain targets, that's way more of an impediment than others. And just briefly, Igor, in terms of nuts and bolts, I mean, people often ask, like, well, how has everything changed in terms of just getting deals practically done? I mean, there certainly are changes. I think, management presentations are now more frequently done by Zoom. And I think just overall, there's just more virtual interactivity than ever before in deals. And thinking back, kind of like you were saying, Igor, trying to put this in context, I think we had already moved to a more digital world for deal making. Virtual data rooms, for example, people were already doing a lot of the work virtually. And putting it in context over time, even pre-pandemic ways of doing things were a far cry from the way deals were done when I was a junior associate and we had frequent in-person negotiations. We had actual physical data rooms with folders with documents in them and boxes, and we had physical closing rooms with, all the manually signed documents lined up in folders. We've come way beyond that. And I think the current environment is just taking it to another level. My view is, I think the days of hopping on planes to go meet in person, to a material extent, may be over. I think the principals still want to get in a room and meet people face to face. But I think even those will be pretty limited. I think we're just in a more virtual world, and this has just put that on steroids.
Well, for sure, your trip down memory lane for all of us who spent many years doing basement level due diligence, I would say, brings a smile to my face and hope for the future that none of the rest of you have to deal with that anymore. Let me turn to something which is an assessment of risk, right? And so you talked about uncertainty and how we're living with it. I want to talk about a topic that we, all of us as M&A lawyers, no matter what kind of purchase agreement you're dealing with, have to think about on behalf of our clients, which is I sign up a deal on day one and it won't close for a number of months due to whether it's regulatory conditions, shareholder approvals, any number of other reasons. And during the pendency, during that time period, we sort out, at what point do I, the buyer, get to change my mind, walk away? How bad do things have to get, right? And we often use this concept that many of you are familiar with, material adverse effect. Again, whether it's a big public deal or a smaller private deal, it doesn't matter. That concept is used quite widely. And one of the things we see when times are stressful out there, we saw it in the 2008 recession, and we're certainly seeing it again, is pressure on deals that are pending when the external force happens, in this case, the pandemic hit. And buyers may rightly want to get out of deals, and sellers certainly do not want them to. And so we've seen a lot of clash between buyers and sellers, some of which has led to litigation on these kinds of issues, including MAE. So Jenny, maybe you can give us a sense this morning of what we're seeing in this area. What are we seeing in terms of M&A clash? What are we seeing in terms of litigation? And frankly, what does that mean for us as deal makers thinking about how to draft the next agreement?